Hello, this is JP Salibi. I'm a functional medicine physician in South Carolina, and this is another program on the FLCCC platform called Whole Body Health with me, Dr. Salibi. Today's topic will be on ITP. And please, this is not to be construed as a medical advice. If you think you have this condition or you do have this condition, please consult with your primary care practitioner or specialist for appropriate diagnostics and treatment. Today, the learning objectives are: what is ITP? We'll define it. The possible causes, mainstream medicine's approach to treatments, and then some alternative treatments that we can have for this condition. The definition of ITP. ITP is an immune thrombocytopenia purpura. So thrombocytopenia means low platelets. It is an autoimmune disorder and it does affect the platelets, which is a subcomponent of our blood. You will normally have either normal or maybe even a bit larger than normal sized platelets with this condition. White blood cells and red blood cells remain normal morphologically in this condition. A much lower number of platelets is found on a blood smear under microscopic examination. One can have petechiae, which are little pinprick-like lesions on the skin, bruising, and also purpura, which is kind of these large plaquing type of dermatological manifestations. Bleeding from the nose and gums, black blisters in the mouth, fatigue, and in women, heavy menstrual periods are seen in this condition. The pathophysiology. The causes ITP as an autoimmune disorder is where a subject's immune system generates antibodies that will attack and destroy platelets. Platelets, again, are a subtype of cells found in our blood. Results in low platelet counts is the cause of bruising and bleeding, as platelets help stop a bleeding process or an injury. The normal platelet count ranges from 100 to 400 times 10 to the ninth per liter. A platelet count lower than 100 usually is referred to as thrombocytopenia or low platelet count. There are patients with ITP that have very low platelet counts in sometimes the single digits. The causes ITP actually may be induced by viral illnesses such as HBV and HCV, CMV, varicella, HIV, Zika, and of course, in most recent years, SARS-CoV-2. Vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia, or VITT, as I'll refer to it, has been shown to be induced by the Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Pfizer mRNA vaccines. High levels of antibodies to platelet factor 4 or PF4 polyanion complexes have been identified and result in VITT. Titers of anti-PF4 related antibodies in vaccine recipients may be elevated, especially those who had thrombosis at sites other than commonly reported to date among patients with VITT. How do you work this up? Well, the ITP, here's a nice slide that shows petechiae, those pinpoint lesions, and also bruising. And in the very bottom one, you see a picture of someone's ankle who has purpura. It is also accompanied by blisters in the mouth, nose and gum bleeding, and also fatigue. How do you make the diagnosis? The most important part of a clinical workup is to take a very thorough history and physical examination. Oftentimes, the diagnosis can be made 80-90% of the time with just that alone. Make sure one has to rule out other hematological disorders like cancer and other disorders that can mimic this presentation on the skin. You may need to order some blood work to determine how low the platelets are. So basically, some serum analyzers and also microscopic examination of a blood smear can often clinch the diagnosis of ITP. But there's no need for fancy or expensive blood biomarkers or testing. What is the treatment? Well, we'll start out with mainstream medical or MSM treatment of this disorder. In mild cases, there only is the need for monitoring the platelet count, unless there are symptoms. Severe cases, there may be the use of steroids like prednisone or IVIG infusions. Second line drugs, I've listed a few here. Rituximab, Odanazole, Dapsone have been used. Third line is surgical splenectomy. Since the spleen can sequester platelets and other blood products, if you will, we take the spleen out and that will reduce the number of platelets that are reduced. However, splenectomy comes with some other issues, especially the issue of having infections with other microbes, which could be a deterrent. For those that are seeking dental procedures, like say a tooth extraction, or women with heavy menstrual periods that makes them anemic, there is a drug called tranexamic acid that has been used for symptom relief. And then platelet transfusions is another intervention that's used in extreme emergencies like hemorrhages. You'll get a platelet transfusion IV from donors. All right, things to avoid. Avoid some of the medications and over-the-counter products, namely aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Aleve or Motrin, to name a few. Always seek your doctor's advice when you're told to use these products if you have ITP. Antiplatelet agents like clopidogrel, for instance, and then blood thinners like heparin and warfarin, amongst others, you have to be used with caution. Herbals and botanicals that can also thin your blood should be used with caution. High-dose fish oil, vitamin E, especially high dose, resveratrol, quercetin, curcumin, and many other botanicals can cause blood to become thinner and can cause bleeding or bruising. Caution with ivermectin. Only in 1.54% of cases that the use of this drug has it been reported to cause thrombocytopenia. So again, not a very high risk. Ivermectin is extremely safe, but this is something to talk to your doctor about, especially if you're on other things in the nutraceutical bundle or if you have ITP as a condition. I would recommend avoiding either the adenovirus vaccines like you see in the Johnson and Johnson or any of the mRNA vaccines. All increase the risks of ITP. J&J may actually be worse. COVID-19 infections increase the risk of ITP, so you don't just have to get the injection, you can be infected. The more times infected, very likely, the more spiked you've become, the more susceptible you are to ITP. Caution given to patients with ITP and mRNA adenovirus shots is don't take the risk. We know now that the risks of these vaccines far outweigh any benefit you could possibly get from this experimental vaccine or shot. Alternative therapies. Natural ITP treatments is a way to manage low platelet counts caused by ITP, purpura, a disorder that affects the immune system and blood clotting. The juice of the papaya leaf, vitamin C that boosts the immune system and helps fight infections. Aloe vera is a blood purifier and anti-inflammatory agent. Wheatgrass juice, beetroot juice, and ashwagandha and some other botanicals are often used. Avoiding chemicals and pesticides, which will interfere with your body's immune system and also create free radicals, is to be avoided. More alternatives, and these probably have more weight than some of the botanicals. For instance, low-dose naltrexone or LDN. There is published research on the LDN Research Trust website that enumerates a number of conditions that are used in heme oncology or heme-onc for the purpose ITP. It's listed as well. So you can review that website for those references. Rapamycin is very promising in therapy. There have been a few articles published, I've listed them here in these hyperlinks, that have been using this drug as an mild immunosuppressant in very, very low doses to help folks with ITP. And then there's an agent called Amlocynox. Amlocynox is FDA approved for other purposes, so this would be a repurposed off-label use for this drug that can actually take the place of high doses of steroids or prednisone, which we don't want to keep our patients on. So if there's a relapse or a flare-up and people get in trouble with low platelet counts, after a course of prednisone, you may want to switch to Amlocynox as an alternative safer agent. In any of my patients that present with ITP, They don't want surgery like a splenectomy, and they want to avoid some of the big pharma drugs and the monoclonal antibodies, and maybe even IVIG. I will select low-dose naltrexone primarily by itself or in combination with rapamycin, and possibly add Amlexanox as a third agent, especially to avoid high doses of prednisone. And this wraps up another episode of Whole Body Health with me, Dr. Salibi, for the FLCCC, and we will see you next time.